Well, good evening, everybody. You can take your Bibles tonight and go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're continuing our little Promised Seed mini-series here. Last time we got together, we looked at how Jesus was to be the descendant of Adam and of Abraham and of King David. We looked at many of the prophecies in the Old Testament regarding Jesus Christ, including where he was to be born and the different prophecies about the branch. And tonight we're going to look at the genealogies recorded in God's Word with this in mind. And we'll also examine his conception and how all of it fits together with what was prophesied. So Matthew 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise," or in this manner. "When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost," which references God. So this verse lays out the core details of Jesus Christ's miraculous conception. Mary was espoused to Joseph, which means she was not yet married to him. It's like our engagement period. So she was engaged to Joseph. She was promised to him, but not yet married. They had not yet had marital relations. They had not yet come together. And Mary was found with child by God. So Jesus Christ's genetic makeup is from Mary, his mother, his earthly mother, and God, his actual heavenly father. Joseph was his human father in terms of raising him and raising the child, but he was not part of the genetic makeup of Jesus Christ. So we have to consider Jesus' genetics carefully to understand his place as our Redeemer and as our Savior. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So we have to keep in mind that there was nothing at all miraculous about Jesus Christ's birth. It was a birth like every other birth, in that Mary gave birth to him. What was miraculous was his conception. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that one man is Adam. "By one man, Adam, sin entered into the world when he chose to knowingly disobey God. And death by sin." So as a result of that sin, death came into the world. "And so death passed upon all men, for that all have" what? "Sinned." So death passed upon all men because everyone has sinned. Everyone. Go to Psalm 51, verse 5. So because of what Adam did at the fall, knowingly disobeying God, sin entered into the world. And since then, every man has sinned. Except for one. Psalm 51, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. I was made in iniquity. And in sin did my mother" what? "Conceive me." So because of what Adam did, sin entered into the world, and it entered into our blood, essentially. And since Adam, all humans have had a sinful nature since birth. So we are born sinners. Just the way it works. Because there's sin in the blood, we're born sinners. And we have that same sin in our blood. And that's a result of what happened with Adam. Go to Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus 17, verse 11. The first part of this verse says, for the life of the flesh is in the what? Yeah. In the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. We know that man was created in three parts. When God originally created man in Genesis chapter 1, he was created in three parts. Body, which is the flesh part. Soul, which is the life of man, which gives that lump of flesh life. And spirit. Okay, so he was born, or he was made, created, body, soul, and spirit. And then man lost that spirit with Adam's original sin. And since that time, man hadn't had spirit within. That was the need for a redeemer. That was the death that man died when God said, if you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. That death was the loss of spirit, that loss of direct connection with God. We still lived on in body and soul, but the spirit was gone. And so it says here in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of in that body is called soul, and it is in the blood part. Okay? So you'll see flesh and blood a lot in the Bible, the term flesh and blood. Okay? It means your body and soul. It refers to the body part of you and the soul part of you. Okay? And the body part of you comes from the egg part of the woman. And the soul part of you comes from the seed part of the man. So when you create a human being, you have the egg and you have the seed. You have the body and you have the blood. Okay? The body and the soul, where the life is. And so the woman's egg is the flesh contribution, while the man's seed is the blood or soul contribution to the whole thing. And because the sin was in the blood, from the time Adam sinned, it just keeps getting passed on and passed on and passed on. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 14. We'll read a scripture about Jesus Christ. This verse is about Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children, all of us, are partakers of flesh and what? Blood. We partake of both things. We are flesh part, we are blood part. We are body part and soul part. He also himself, likewise, referring to Jesus Christ, took part of the same. So he took part of those, of that same flesh and blood. He took one part of it, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So partakers is the Greek word koinonio, which is to share in fully. Okay, we share in fully in the flesh and blood part. We're both of those things. He, Jesus Christ, took part. And part is the Greek word meteko, which is a portion or part of the whole. So the portion or part of the whole is the flesh and the blood. He took part of that. Okay? He took part of that. So we all have fully shared in flesh and blood passed down since Adam, and thus have sin in our blood. But Jesus only took part, and the part that he took was the flesh part from Mary. The human part of Jesus Christ came from Mary, because the divine piece of it came from God. That was God's contribution. So the part that's human in the conception process is Mary. She's the human part, and her contribution is the egg, which is the flesh part. The seed was from God himself, and therefore not inherently sinful. It did not have the sin nature that got passed down by man. So God arranged for a redeemer who was completely a man with freedom of will, but also having a sinless nature from his birth. So he was born without sin. He was born without that initial sin part. He had free will. He had the opportunity to sin, to screw up, but it wasn't like he was pegged from the start like the rest of us. So the miracle of Jesus is not the birth, since everything that follows is a normal course of natural physical childbirth. It was the divine conception that's the miraculous part, because it allowed for a sinless man to be born with the choice to believe or not to believe God. And in order to pay for our sins, they had to have the opportunity to sin himself and not do it. And in order to be perfect payment, had to remain sinless. So go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. So that's the miraculous part of Jesus Christ's conception, that God contributed part of it, and therefore, because the sin was in the blood, Jesus Christ was born without that sin nature. It's the only way we could have had a perfect man, because everybody else had sin in their blood. So we're going to take a look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, to get an idea of some of these prophecies about him. The book, Matthew 1, 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of who?
Abraham.
So this verse alone states the fulfilling of the prophecy that Jesus Christ would be a descendant of Abraham and of King David. And the lineage that we're about to read is through Mary. Okay? It's Mary's side of the family. And Mary's side of the family is the royal side of the family. It came from David. Verse 2. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Thamar, and Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram, and Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, and Naasson begat Salmon, or Salmon as I like to call him, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Urias. And so we see where the royal lineage begins here. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Ozias, and Ozias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasses, and Manasses begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias, and Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought up to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, and Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, and Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Okay, so that is a lot of names in there. But in verse 16, it says, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. So it's a very confusing verse, because if you're looking at lineage, why would Jacob beget Joseph, her husband, who begets Jesus? It's not like they were brother and sister or father and daughter. So it turns out that the word husband there is the word Andra, A-N-D-R-A. And it simply means grown man. And the translators mistranslated it very poorly, husband. It really refers to a father and not a husband. So that word should read father. If you want to leave a ribbon here real quick and go to Luke 3:23, just in case you don't believe me. It says in Luke 3:23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as he was supposed, the son of Joseph, who was the son of Heli. So, Jesus' earthly legal father, Joseph, was the son of a man named Heli, not the son of a man named Jacob. Okay? So, can't possibly be the same Joseph here. But it turns out that Mary's dad's name was also Joseph, and she married a man named Joseph. There's nothing illegal about that. So there you go. Verse 17 of Matthew chapter 1. Back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. Further solidifying this evidence is 17 says, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. Okay, so if you count all the begats, starting with Abraham begatting Isaac in verse 2, all the way through verse 6 where Jesse begats David, you get 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. So if you keep going in verse 6 and count the begats from there through Solomon all the way to verse 11 when Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon, it's another 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So if you count all the begats from verse 12 all the way up through verse 16, you'll notice that Mary is number 13th generation and Jesus Christ is the 14th. And so it can't possibly, again, be that Joseph is the husband. Otherwise, that wouldn't be a begatting in a generation. So the 14 generations lead to Jesus Christ. So Mary would be 13 and Jesus would be 14. So we see that Jesus, through Mary's lineage, was heir to King David's throne, as prophesied. She was the daughter, or the great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter of King David. And so he had legal royal rights to the throne to be king of Israel. This genealogy also goes chronologically forward, which is symbolic of a royal lineage. If you look at historical royal lineages, it always shows where you came from because one of those guys was a king and everybody moving forward was a king. And that's the way it's expressed here in Matthew. All right, go to Luke chapter 3, verse 23. The other genealogy listed in the Bible is the one through his legal father, his legal guardian, Joseph, Jesus Christ's earthly father. You'll notice as we start to go through this that this lineage is through the father Joseph, and it's listed backwards, starting with Jesus and going in the opposite direction, chronologically backwards, because that's how a commoner's lineage was listed. So Joseph wasn't his biological father, therefore there was no royal lineage in that bloodline for Jesus, and it's listed in the opposite direction. Verse 23 of Luke 3. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as he was supposed, as everybody thought, the son of Joseph. He wasn't the biological son of Joseph. It's just what people supposed. But here's the lineage, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Mathet, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Janna, which was the son of Joseph. And I'll spare you all the sons of, but it goes all the way through. We'll pick up in verse 35, because there is one error we need to point out, which was the son of Saruk, which was the son of Regal, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Selah. And then this next piece, which was the son of Kainan, is not in the text. It should be omitted. If you would like to see who, why, you can leave your finger here and go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 12. Just in case you don't believe me again. Genesis chapter 11, verse 12. It says, and Arphaxad, our good buddy Arphaxad, lived 35 years, and he begat Selah. So Arphaxad had a son named Selah. Great. Go back to Luke 3:36, where the end of 35 says, Heber has a son, Selah, who was the son of Arphaxad, if you cross out the first part of that verse. And that jives with the information that we see in Genesis 11, 12. Verse 38 says, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son or created by God. Okay, so this lineage goes all the way back through to the beginning to Adam, whereas the royal lineage did not. It started with Abraham. If you look at verse 31, it says, which was at the end of there, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. So it actually turns out that both of the parents had a common ancestor in David, but the royal lineage goes through Mary, because if you look at it, David had the son of, who was the son of Nathan. Nathan was the son of David. So David had Solomon, King Solomon, and that's where the royal lineage goes, but he also had a son named Nathan, and that's where it converts off and goes towards Joseph's end. So they both converge at David, but one is a royal bloodline and one is the not royal bloodline, because it was through the other son. So we see that Joseph is also a descendant of David. His Judean pedigree is traceable through, Jesus Christ's Judean pedigree is traceable through both parents from society's point of view. So society saw Jesus Christ as a descendant of David from both parents. And then obviously because of David, they both trace back through Abraham and ultimately to Adam. So Jesus Christ is the only true begotten Son of God because of his divine and miraculous conception, but he's also, as we saw prophesied last week, he is of a royal bloodline, a king in Israel, and he had descendants including David, including Abraham, all the way back to Adam. So that's what I wanted to share tonight about Jesus Christ's miraculous conception and his family background. And then next week, we're going to get into the events surrounding that conception and ultimately his birth.